May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Whoever believes, from the gospel lesson, John chapter 3. Our scripture this morning opens with a peculiar episode that we heard in the Old Testament lesson for today. It refers to a time when the Israelites, who seemingly were always complaining and grumbling against Moses and against God, but in this occasion they were publicly doing it, publicly speaking against God and against Moses as the leader, and God sent a punishment. He sent some poisonous snakes, and those snakes killed many people. Now, we can misinterpret this action of God, and to tell you the truth, it deserves a whole sermon on its own, right? The matter of God's wrath and how justified it is. But it didn't take long for the people to recognize that their sin, and they pleaded with Moses, please, take our prayers to God and please end this plague of these snakes. And Moses did just that. He prayed for the people. And God told him exactly what to do. Make a bronze snake, put it on a pole, and if people would just look at it, they would be healed. They would be made well. They would be saved. Jesus then connects this episode to himself. He would be the serpent on a pole when he was raised on the cross. And people who looked to him, and by means of belief and faith, they would be healed. They would be saved from the sin sickness that has gripped humanity. And then immediately comes that immortal verse, the best known verse in the whole Bible, a verse with 24 short words that give us the whole gospel, all of God's will for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And we're going to focus on that word, whoever. Whoever. There's so much to note here in this verse. First of all, I think it reveals the intentions of God the Father. It is his initiative, his, to love us and to save us. Some people have this idea that there's a God of the Old Testament and then there's Jesus in the New Testament. And the God in the Old Testament is angry and he is ready to punish us and he's stern and he's kind of mean. And then there's Jesus in the New Testament, who God seems to be, the Father seems to be needing to be persuaded to forgive us and to love us. And Jesus is the loving and gentle Son who changes the Father's attitude toward us. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Scriptures tell us that it all started with God the Father. It was his eternal plan to love us. It was his eternal plan, ultimately, to sacrifice for us. The mainspring of the Father is love. He is the one who sent his beloved Son to us. He is the one who woos us. He is the one who runs after us. He's the one who pursues us. And it is the Father who would love all people. The world, it says. Not a particular set of people, not just people who love him or the so-called good people, but the whole world. He's after the whole world. St. Augustine once wrote, God loves each of us as if there was only one of us to love. God's love is an agape love. What is agape love? It's that love given to us for no discernible reason. No discernible reason in us. It is just the nature of God. And this love is not a capricious love. And what I mean by that, it's not here today and gone tomorrow. It's a dependable love. God is faithful. He's not volatile. His love doesn't change. But, and I guess it's a big but, we can reject it. We can reject it. In God's love, He gave us Jesus Christ. He gave us His Son. At the cross, we encounter love in its purest forms. You know, there's a story that comes out of the Bedouin culture. Bedouin is literally means desert dwellers. These people live much as society had lived in the Old Testament. Any of you been to Israel? You've probably seen the Bedouins, right? They're out there in their tents, and they live very much like they did in Abraham's time, you know. Well, this particular story deals with a heated argument, and one young man kills another young man. It was his friend. Knowing the inflexible customs of his people, the young man who killed the other, under the cover of darkness, he fled, seeking safety. And he eventually finds his way into the tent of the tribal leader, seeking his protection. And the old chief said, "Yes, I will protect you. I will keep you safe until this matter can be settled legally." Well, the next day, the young man's pursuers arrived, demanding that the murderer be turned over to them so that they could administer their own form of justice. But the chief would not allow them to have the young man. "I have given my word," protested the chief. "I have promised to keep him safe." But the first man of the pursuers said, "But you don't know who he killed." And then the man behind him said, "He killed your son." Abruptly, there was silence. The chief was deeply and visibly shaken. He stood there speechless with his head down, bowed for a long time. The crowd that had gathered waited for the chief to issue his verdict. Most of them were sure that he would say, "Take him away, execute him. Maybe even worse, torture him first." But then the chief raised his head. "He shall become my son, and whatever I have will belong to him." Surprising, isn't it? The young man certainly didn't deserve that generosity. And that, of course, is the point of comparison with what our Father has done for us. Divine love really is beyond comprehension. Beyond comprehension. No one can merit it. No one can in any way deserve it like that young man. It's agape love. It's a whoever kind of love. Another way of looking at what Jesus did in comparison, he makes himself the snake, the bronze snake. Snake bit Israelites found healing. Look at the poll. Sinners looking to Christ are healed. Jesus was snake bit for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Jesus is the antidote to sin. Look to Him and believe Him and you're healed of this sin illness. Pastor, it can't be that simple. I can hear people say that. now, today, and I bet they said it in Moses' time too. No, we can't just look at a bronze thing. We gotta make some ointment. We gotta wear protective clothing. We gotta do this. We gotta do that. You mean being a Christian is just believing in Jesus? It can't be that simple. What else do we have to do? What else do we have to do? You know, the problem in our generation is that people don't even realize that they've been stung. I mean, we're born with a poison in us, the venom of evil. We call it original sin, don't we? It's original sin. Sin is a disease that will ultimately bring us death. But worse, it'll bring us the second death if it's not interrupted, if it's not intervened with. And Jesus often speaks of the sting that never stops, the fires and torments of hell. Jesus tells us that. But there is that great word, whoever. Whoever. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever. Yes, it's that simple. And yes, it's that wonderful. Why would people reject this? We do have the freedom to do that. Light has come into the world, says our gospel lesson, but people prefer darkness rather than the light. Why? 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 I think there may be a variety of reasons, and one of them is suggested in our text, but I see three reasons why people reject the grace of Jesus Christ. Number one, there is pride. I don't take charity. I earn my way. I'm a good person. I have some flaws. But next to a lot of people, even those sitting near me here, I'm a lot better than they are. I know something of their sin. These are the ones who insist you have to do your part. And the gospel is not simply believing that Jesus died for your sins. It's got to be more than that. That's number one reason I think people reject the grace of God, because they don't need it quite as much as others. Secondly, there are those who just don't know how needy they are. These are the ones who are not sure there is a God. And if they've heard the gospel, the law and the gospel, they don't understand it and they dismiss it. There are a lot of people like that. They just don't know that they're needy, and they just don't know where help can come from. And finally, they're what I call the lost. And finally, there are the ones mentioned in our scripture today. They are the rebellious ones. They want to live life on their own terms. They even love the deeds of darkness. They're going to do what they want to do. They will break commandments if it suits them. They do what pleases them. All these groups will perish if this is not interrupted, if they don't come to their senses. But remember this, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came to save the world. And his followers, we're not to condemn people. We're to love them and share with them the gospel, the whoever of the gospel. You know, there are so many people in our world carrying huge burdens. They don't know where to go with them. Burdens of guilt and shame and regret. And I really think as people get older, these can multiply. Because we've done things that multiply them, right? And we live in this regret and this guilt and this shame. Remember a letter that was addressed to Billy Graham years ago, and it reads like this. I'm in my 80s and all alone. I know it's all my fault. I went through life being disagreeable, demanding that everybody do things my way, and all my relatives, they turned against me. Maybe someone will learn from my life. I truly wish I could live it over. Boy, you can hear the regret in that, can't you? Right? God has a message for these people. He has given us a transforming message. Whoever believes, whoever. No, it's not too good to be true. And yes, it is that simple, and it is that wonderful. Listen to the Word of God throughout the New Testament, okay? Listen to it. No, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark 16:16. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. John 3:36. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. John 4:14. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. John 6:37. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. John 11:26. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Revelation 22:17. Whoever. Prodigals can come home. People can repent of their prideful ways. We can have our eyes opened again. We can believe. It's not too late. Whoever also means whenever. Whenever. So on the last day of your life, you can repent of your sins, have your eyes opened, and receive the gift of eternal life. But please don't wait that long. And please think of the people that you love and care about. Because as people grow older, they become more stubborn, more set in their ways, more, well, should I say it? More unbelieving. There is somebody you need to be praying for. Somebody you need, what's the first name that comes to your heart and mind? Be praying for them. And don't stop. Don't stop praying for them. And there is somebody you need to say that word to. You need to say that word, whoever. Whoever. Whoever believes shall have eternal life in Jesus. And it's his name and to his glory we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Please rise.